Now, before we pray together, I would like to read a few verses from the prophet Jeremiah. Perhaps Jeremiah 9, from verse 11. Here it says, Jeremiah 9, from verse 11, "Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perishes and is burnt up like a wilderness, that none passes through. And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them." Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvest man, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners, that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. I think that when God has spoken, the words may sometimes be difficult to understand what it means. But we have received grace from God in these days, that God sent us His servant and prophet, that He could reveal to us all the things that were perhaps still unknown to us by the grace of God. It is like someone who may read a drawing and still not know what to do with it. And we may read in the Bible and may not have understood it, but by the grace of God, it has been given to us. And we see that here God has spoken to His people Israel. And I think not only to His people Israel, but these words are important and valuable to us, because it is the prophetic word. And Peter says that we should take heed unto the word of prophecy as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And again we see in the New Testament, even our Lord, He always referred to the sayings of the prophets and always put what they had spoken upon the lampstand. And some of what they had spoken was fulfilled in His day, others only later, and still others will be fulfilled in our day. And we see that He spoke here to the people of Israel, and all that He spoke, we see it was not spoken in the wind, but in fact everything announced was fulfilled in them. They were scattered among the peoples, among the nations, and suffered many things. And even more, their bodies were slain and murdered. And we know why all this came to pass. He foretold it to them, because they refused to serve God in the right way. God made Himself known to them in the right way and gave them His word and His law, but they paid no attention. Yes, even more than that, He gave them grace. The Messiah had come. They rejected salvation. And what happened then? We all know what happened. Beloved, I just wanted to call out to all of us, God has given us grace. He has given us His word in these days. And if we don't heed His word, and if we don't live it out, and if we don't act on it, then we can suffer the same fate. But we want to listen to what He has spoken to us. And then, dear brothers and sisters, we do not want to have been vain hearers, but we want to ask the Lord completely and utterly that He may give us grace to live out what we have been given by grace. May He help us also this evening. May He be with us in this hour. May He continue to let His word come to us, is my fervent prayer and desire. Let us rise now to pray together. Faithful God, we thank You with all our hearts, also for this day, and for this hour, and for these moments, when we may be gathered here again, in Your wonderful and glorious name. We thank You, O God, that thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. We worship you tonight. We thank you, O Lord, that you have spoken so wonderfully in these days. You have made yourself known in such a marvelous way. Lord, you have given many signs and wonders, even in our days, as in the days of the prophets. Lord, you have shown yourself mighty, but in our days you have shown yourself in a special way, Lord. And for this we praise your glorious name. Thank you, Lord, for the message you have given us. Lord, may we not take it so lightly. Give grace, O Lord. May we remember, Lord, that you have spoken and not a man, that it is thy word, Lord, that we must heed, that it is your speaking, Lord, and not the speaking of a man, Lord. Faithful Lord, give me grace, give us all grace, Lord, that we may give heed, that we may not go along with stubborn hearts, as those did, Lord. They are shown to us as an example, Lord. Faithful Lord, give grace. We ask you once more, even tonight, let your word go forth mightily to our hearts. Speak to us in a mighty way, Lord. That is my prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Count the good things that God has done for you, that comes your way, as the song goes. We can certainly all count many good things, because God has only done good things for us. But you see, the time we live in is no longer the time of Moody or Spurgeon or any of the great men, no longer the time of Martin Luther or John Wesley, or the time that was 20 or 40 years ago. It's a different time, the last time, the last generation we live in. Sometimes we struggle to grasp it all. And yet, when we look into the Holy Scriptures and read what is written there, there is only one heading that can be placed above everything, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. In every way, among peoples, among nations, in Israel, in the church, in you and me, in your house and mine, around us and in us and above us, everywhere we see God's word fulfilled in one way or another. What really struck me as I listened to the word that was read to us was the thought that today it is about us as the church. God has called Israel to account more severely than any other nation on earth. And why? Because he had not spoken to any other people. Because he had not chosen any other people. Because he did not want to carry out his plan and his program with any other people. And the people he had chosen failed, did not take his words seriously, ignored his instructions. And it was the only people he had. If he had had another people, he could have said goodbye and carried on with others. That was not possible. He chose one people through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the failure of this people of God also means that God cannot fulfill His plan of salvation. And that is where the seriousness of the situation and the whole matter begins. He has already said this through Moses, the man who was used to lead this people out according to the promise. He did so in Deuteronomy chapter 4. These serious words should have touched everyone's heart back then, but will come straight to us. Because today it's not about what Israel did wrong 2,000 years ago. Today it's about what we have done wrong in this time. That is the Word of God. God's Word does indeed report what happened thousands of years ago. But the purpose of the writing of that time was to hold up a mirror to us today, so that we can recognize today what we have done wrong. That is the purpose of the Holy Scriptures. They are given for instruction and is profitable for correction. Deuteronomy chapter 4. From verse 26, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. When you read this, it is heartbreaking. Here is the land of promise. The people of God are crossing over, and they cross over with the announcement, you will not stay there long. You will indeed cross over and take possession of it, but only for a short time. And then you will be scattered among all nations under heaven. With all the joy that pervaded them, there was already a little bitterness attached. They knew in their hearts that they would not be able to fulfill the Word of God. And there is no human being who can fulfill everything. I'm not talking about two or three things. I'm talking about everything that God demands. But one thing is certain. If a person clings to God with his heart and does not turn away from God in his heart, then some things may happen on which the wrath of God rests. But as long as a person clings to God in his heart, the Lord will make even the crooked straight, and He will set right what is not right. But man must cling to God in his heart. This connection to God must be there. We read on here, and there ye shall serve gods the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. The first commandment reads, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And now it is announced that they must go out of the land and that they will serve other gods. Beloved, this is a very powerful lesson. We cannot be driven out of the land of promise and then still serve God. That is out of the question. All those who leave the land of divine promise leave the fellowship with God. Their worship becomes idolatry. They are abandoned. It was impossible to serve God in a land that He had not promised. I don't know if you have read the psalm when the people of Israel were in Babylonian captivity. The tormentors came and said, Sing to us of your songs of Zion. The harps hang on the willows. No one played. They still had the fear of God in them. And then someone gave the answer. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What was it? They had so much sincerity and so much reverence for God that they did not sing to mock, so to speak, the living God in a strange land. And that is a great pointer to our day, to our time. What is the use of singing? What good is anything if we are not where God wants us to be? To do with us what He has set out to do and bring it to a conclusion. It just moves me. And just imagine what it says in the same chapter, namely from verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or has God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Perhaps also verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. The land was given forever. The land is still there today. The people are returning. But the people whom God had chosen have been scattered. God does not do great things to us so that we subsequently go our own way and turn our backs on him. But everything that comes from God should lead us back to God. We should recognize that the Lord has something in mind for us, scattered to all nations, and then bring us back from all nations. We heard it here and read it in the prophet Jeremiah, probably chapter 9, from verse 11. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it, for what the land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passes through? We heard this on each of our journeys to Israel. Until recently, there was no forest, nor was this or that planted. It was a barren, desolate land. Crusaders marched through it, destroying everything that was still there. But no one rebuilt, no one reclaimed land. But now the turning point has come. People who own it have not destroyed. They have built. Their time has come. How many times has it been destroyed? I wrote it down somewhere in my Bible, on one of the last pages. How many times Israel was destroyed, and what happened? But that time is over. And remember one thing. It was always others who destroyed. Not the people of Israel, but the enemies of God's people who destroyed, who left behind ruins. But God has now brought his own back so that they can rebuild. The land has been destroyed, but it's written here, and the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. The heart of man is evil from his youth, and no man is able to obey God unless the heart is renewed. Only people who receive a new heart, a new life, a new certain spirit from God have the opportunity to obey the word of God and do what he has said. An old heart can hear so many new words of God, and it will not be able to do them, because it has to agree that in us must agree with what comes from God. And it is actually very true what we have already read in the opening word, and also the comparison we draw from it with the people of Israel. For us as the church in these days, it is no use having heard the message of God, as I wrote in the last circular letter, and mixing it up, adding to it, and whatever can be made of it. But for the word of God, the ground must be plowed anew in your heart and in mine. It must be cultivated anew, so that the word can be sown as pure seed and no longer be sown among thorns, as the prophet says in another scripture. Here, at the beginning of the chapter, the condition of the individuals and the people is described. Then, where was it? I think in chapter 7, Jeremiah 7, from verse 21, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices, and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Isn't that a serious word? When we consider how many sacrifices and burnt offerings have been made. And do you know what Paul wrote to the Hebrews? "In burnt offerings and sacrifices thou hast had no pleasure, but a body hast thou prepared me. For in the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God." These two scriptures the man of God takes up through the Spirit. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices thou hast had no pleasure." You can read it. I didn't read them up earlier because I didn't know what would be brought in the opening word. But here it is. You can read it for yourselves. Hebrews 10, from verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. Oh, how wonderful! Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, they were included in the law. But God had not originally ordained them. It says here literally, they offered them. Put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. Of course, why not? The sacrifice was not as important as the flesh that was eaten afterwards. It was very obvious. You don't need to be wise to realize why it was so important. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. God's bond with people is that they know they are bound by what he has said. Whoever detaches himself from what God has said, detaches himself from God. And then, whoever detaches himself from God, there is the well-known word, he is godless, detached from God. It is not only the criminal or the murderer who is godless. Anyone who has detached himself from God is detached from God and is therefore godless. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God. How often we want God to be our God. And even more than that, we want him to be with us as he has promised. And that's where we need to do some soul searching. And I have disregarded instructions from the Lord, not followed very clear instructions from the Lord. And when we think about it, we know that God is merciful, but he doesn't pass over things as if they hadn't happened. He first of all passes judgment on us. And we can say this again. No other people have been so tested, so punished, so scattered, so mistreated, so killed as the people of Israel. And they are God's chosen people. But as emphasized earlier, God wanted to make history in the plan of salvation with his people. Where is the plan of salvation without his people? What does God want to do if he does not have people on earth through whom he can do it? Beloved, this shows us things and won't let us go one step further. The Lord calls out to us. This is what I have to say to you. What happened to Israel has also happened to you. But God always, in the midst of wrath, has mercy, which he is mindful of. In Amos chapter 3, from verse 1, it says, Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the kindreds of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Was what I said earlier true? I have just read it here. We have all just heard it here from the Word of God. Amos 3, verse 2. It's the same chapter in which the Lord then says in verse 6, Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? We see how closely these two things are connected. On the one hand, the rebuke, and then the promise that God will do nothing without first revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets. And just as God announced the course of Israel in advance through the prophet Moses and illuminated it in retrospect through the later prophets, saying, This is how it will come, and that's how it happened. In the same way, God, and we gratefully recognize this, God has used the prophetic ministry in these last days to show us where we have deviated, how we have deviated, where we have not done right, all the things we have done, God has not asked of us, and what he has asked of us, we have not done. Well, how we are supposed to stand our ground before him with what we offer? He has certainly not commanded it at all, as we have heard from the people of Israel. And yet, God looks upon us with favor. And I tell you one thing, as long as God is still speaking to us, he has not yet given us up. And as long as people still hear what he says, there is still hope and grace. If God no longer speaks, and if we no longer listen, but go on in the stubbornness of our hearts, and each one looks to his own way, as the prophet says elsewhere, and does not recognize the way of the Lord, then the wrath of God remains on us. What did the Lord do at the end of his ministry? Probably somewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, when he had spoken and realized that the people simply did not listen and would not listen at any price, he made the announcement of what would come upon them. And it indeed came upon them later. It should be in the Gospel of Matthew, where he said these things. Yes, here, Matthew chapter 23, it says in verse 34, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city," and so forth. Then verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Your house is left unto you desolate. If we look at the other scriptures, there he said, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then let the people flee, let them depart from there, for the hour of their visitation has come." And he said, "He who is on the housetop, let him not yet enter the house to get his possessions, but let him rise and hurry away. He who is in the field, let him not return home, but let him flee to the mountains of Judea." What was it? All that the Lord had done at that time passed by the mass of the people. They offered their burnt offerings and sacrifices, but did not listen to the word of the Lord, did not recognize what God was doing then. Is it different today? There are full programs everywhere. Every evangelist, every church, all of them have a full program already fully booked for years to come. Without judging, God is only in his own program. God is not interested in human programs, undertakings, and whatever else there may be. God has only one interest, and that is to pay his people back for their guilt, so that we recognize that he is a true father who does not close his eyes but keeps them open in order to chastise and punish, to set things right. Whom I love, that's how he said it, I chastise and discipline. God rebukes. Our love was certainly not right, at least not mine. I always relied on time, always hoped that time would bring it about. Time will only make things worse. It won't bring anything good. But God is a faithful Father. And because he loves us, because he has chosen us, that's why he punishes us. That's why he chastises us. If he had nothing planned for us, he would wave us off and not give us a second glance, and we would go our way. We read about the people of Israel. Because God has chosen you, and no other people on earth, because you heard his voice from heaven, because he spoke to you, because he brought you out, because he proved himself mighty in you. That is why he pays you back for your transgression and all wickedness. And that is it. You will see in these days, all can rejoice, all go out free, all go out free. But the people of the Lord must face the judgment of God. Bow and submit to God's judgment. And as the prophet says at one point, I will endure your wrath. We know that God is merciful. But let us not rely on this in advance, but let us first face God's judgment so that he can be merciful. Have you ever heard of a person being pardoned who has not been condemned? There is no such thing. And that is perhaps the point that we have not fully grasped. We only see the good God and think that everything is already fine, and that the good Lord is a strict, a holy God, who is bound by his word, who said back then, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He could do nothing about it. He said it, and death was there. When a word of God comes from his lips, it is spoken forever and is valid for eternity. On the one hand, it's good for us that we know it. We can rely on God. But both are true. You know that in the Old Testament, there were 12 promises of blessing and 12 promises of curse that God had showed to the people of Israel through Moses. If you do this and that and so on, I could show it to you, but I don't want to go into another subject. But God had both, curse and blessing, life and death, obedience and disobedience. God had presented both to his people and said, you can choose. We believe in predestination, but not in the violation of a person. God has given man free will. And we have just now finished translating the one sermon in the last few days. Yesterday and the day before yesterday, Brother Branham was told in the prophecy when this revelation was brought, you have made the right decision. That's how it was told in the prophecy. It was your personal decision. What is it? God has let us know his plan through his word. But you have to make the decision for him. He will not make it for you. He, for his part, has made it. It is the will of God that all men should be saved and that they should come to the knowledge of the truth. But man must put his will into the will of God. And then the word of promise will be fulfilled. What a lesson! What a serious word we have heard this evening. Let us bow under this word and ask the Lord to be gracious to us and speak to our innermost being so that he can get us where he wants us to be. And he said, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, and I will be your God. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. The fact is that whoever walks according to the stubbornness of his own heart turns away from God, automatically turns his back on God. Only those who walk according to the Word of God walk with God and can see his face. Those who turn away from him must expect to have his back turned to him. Here, the prophet Jeremiah has actually said a great deal in terms of the plan of salvation. In Jeremiah 6, from verse 18, it says, perhaps first verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the way of salvation? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Stand still, pause for a moment, ask for the old paths, consider your way, and recognize which is the way of salvation. The day of salvation has dawned for me, not the way of calamity and strife, but the way of salvation, of blessing, so that God could be with us. Which is the way of salvation? And then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. To know the way of salvation is not enough. A path is there for us to walk on, that we walk in the way of salvation, and then we will find rest for our souls. Blessed are the people who have realized what is quoted in the letter to the Hebrews from the Old Testament. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We may enter into the rest of God, not in our own way, but in the way of God. Not in our word, but in the word of God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, this is the condition. Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the way of salvation? I wish for us who are here, and for all who belong to the people of God, that we may walk together in the way of salvation with God, and that we may walk in it. We have all realized what it brings, great heartbreak, and whatever comes with it. If this does not happen, here it says, but they said, no, we will not walk therein. This may not have been done in loud words. It is enough in the heart to be inwardly against it. And then what? Then everything is already too late. If you read on here, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, no, we will not hearken. What else can God do? He sent his prophets at all times. He gave his instructions and told them what to do. Here is the way of salvation. Walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. They say, no, we don't want that. He sends watchmen on Zion's walls. They sound the trumpet. You hear the sound. It dies away. No answer. The people go on, as if the trumpet had not sounded. Here I must, whether I like it or not, I have to think of Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. If they don't hear the first, let them listen to the second. And if they do not listen to the second, let them go into perdition at their own choice. Who can change it? When God warns and pleads and says, this is the way of salvation, walk in it, stand still, search for the old paths, walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. And they didn't want to. Then he says a second time, I set watchmen on your walls, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And again they answered, no. What do we want with the sound of the trumpet? Huh. You will say, is that really possible? Can it have happened that the people were so brutal in their hearts as the people of God and say, no, we don't want to walk in it. And the trumpet sounds, God calls and wants to speak to them, and they say, no, we don't want to hear the sound of the trumpet. Can we imagine this happening among the people of God? Hardly. And what do I tell you? It is happening today among the people of God, just as it happened then. And the people don't know what it all means, what is going on now. For they have not heard the sound of the trumpet in these days, let alone understood it. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? But if it gives a clear sound, then we must be ready to take up the spiritual battle and go forward with God. Now pay attention, I have to come to a close. It says here in verse 18, therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O church, what will happen to these people. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Let us read no further. The words are so serious, and they apply to our time. They are so true. And God knew what was coming and what days we would live in and what the end would look like. The Lord stands at the door and knocks. All those who hear him and open up to him, he will come in and sup with them. What happened to Israel was very bad. But now they will still have a second chance. They still have one option. They have two. And I have often made it known in my prayers, in what I say to the Lord. And I have made the remark, I said, Lord, Most people have only had one chance in life to serve you. I said, Lord, you will make an exception for me. You will give me two chances to serve you properly. Israel now has one more chance at the end because God has promised it that way. They are already back. And when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then Israel will be saved in its entirety. But now it is about the church, that we stand still and see and ask for the old paths. What was taught in the days of the apostles? What was done? How was the preaching done? What do the divine paths among his people look like? We must stop. We must look around us in order to recognize what God wants and not continue on our own path. And if that is not enough, then the Lord says, I have set watchmen. At least listen to the sound of the trumpet. Recognize the seriousness. When a trumpet is sounded, didn't we read in Amos? Is a trumpet sounded without anything having happened? If a trumpet is sounded, then we read here, verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? And now the trumpet is blown in all the land and in all the world. And the people play their own tune. They sing and play to their own tune and do not get into the divine program and are unconcerned. May God give us grace, because this is the last speaking of God we must hear. The sound of the trumpet is clear. And as we are told, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Now the trumpet is blown and the people are not frightened at all. They feel as safe as Israel was. Oh, that this lesson would go to my heart and to yours, to all of us, that we could come before the face of God with such earnestness and say, Lord, show me your way, the ancient way of which the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 35. There shall be a way, an highway. No unclean person will walk on it, and a fool shall not err therein. Our God is a wonderful God. Thanks be to him for tonight's word. Thanks be to him for the fact that he still speaks. And when God speaks to us in judgment, let him do so, but let him speak. He shall not give up on us and let us go, but he shall speak to us. And with his help, we will be ready to hearken. May it not happen to us that what is written here may be fulfilled, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my instruction, but rejected it. We can put aside all our own instructions and words. This is the time in which God speaks, in which God works. Everything traditional, everything conventional, everything of our own must go, so that God can do something new according to his word. To him, the living God, be praise and honor, glory and worship from eternity to eternity. He speaks, and we have heard the sound of the trumpet, and we want to listen to the announcement that follows this trumpet sound. The trumpet is blown, And when the sound fades and the people have flocked together, then comes the announcement. And I believe we realize what these days are all about. We have heard the sound of the trumpet. We are terrified. We face the Lord and hear what He has to say to us. Praise be to His wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for Your precious and holy word. We know that Your word endureth forever, whether we read it in the Old or New Testament. You have spoken from the beginning, O Lord, and You continue to speak to this day. Faithful God, You have had Your purpose with Your people Israel, and You also have Your purpose with us in these days. You have spoken so wonderfully, O Lord. Give us grace, O God, that we may not reject, that we may not rebel, that we may not reject Your word, but that we may keep Your commands and Your words holy, and know that You are true to Your word in everything. To Your glorious name be the honor tonight. Lord, You are present through Your word, O Lord. You are where Your word is, Lord. Praise be to You. And You have spoken tonight. We can indeed say, You have spoken, O Lord. Who shall not hear? Who will rebel, O Lord? Whoever wants to rebel, rebels against You, O Lord. Accept us, O Lord, as we are. Take everything from us that is not pleasing to You, O Lord, from my life, from all our lives, Lord. And make something of us, Lord, according to Your purpose, O Lord. We worship You, O Lord. We thank You from the bottom of our hearts that You still speak to us in this way, not as we wish, but in a serious way, O Lord, as You spoke to Your people through the prophets, O Lord. They said in those days, we do not want to listen, we want to go our own way. Lord, we want to say, we want to hear, and we don't want to go our own way, O Lord. Give us grace, Lord. We worship You and thank You for Your presence. O Jesus, receive the honor, receive the praise, receive the thanks, O Lord, from all our hearts and mouths. Lord, may we not say, it was too sharp, it was too strong, but we know that Your word is spirit and life, Lord, and a two-edged sword. It divides asunder, Lord. It must penetrate, Lord. O Lord, thanks be to You for this. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship. Lord, we thank You once again and ask You to be with us now as we depart, Lord. Bless us and bring us together again tomorrow so that we may hear Your word again and take it to heart and believe it, Lord, and receive it. We do not know how much longer, Lord, but You have spoken in a mighty way through Your servant and prophet, and You are still speaking today, Lord. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.